B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. We're talking football with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal and you, as promised, right to your phones. Carl in Grafton. Go ahead, Carl.
Felger, how's it going, guys? All of you. I think Mac Jones might struggle a little bit. I mean, a lot of these rookie things that happen, especially with a team that knows the Patriots, especially defensively, or I should say offensively, with the Flores Connect.
Hey, Carl, I don't love your phone, but thank you for calling. Greg, what's your biggest concern with Mac Jones?
My biggest concern with Mac Jones is just, you know, how quickly is he going to learn? How quickly are they going to get to the controls with everything? I mean, I think judging off what we saw in this training camp, it's going to be pretty quickly. I do think that if I'm the other team, and they, about 2 or 3, 4 weeks into this, they'll have a better read on Mac Jones. I think probably if I was going to defend Mac Jones, I would stop the run and I would clamp down at like a 10-yard box. And can he beat the defense consistently from there? I think he can, and I think he showed that ability in the preseason. But he showed a propensity in the preseason to take the checkdowns or at least stay to the wings. He did not look deep down the middle of the field very often. I think those are all concerns, but I think that he'll be fine. I they're not huge concerns for me.
Just quickly, Mike, the physical part of the game to me is the part that should worry you. He's got the brain for it. I think we know that. We can see that. But, and I mean, I don't mean just the injuries. I mean velocity on the throws, doing everything at a faster speed. Can he do that? The second thing is, just quickly, I want him to struggle. I want to see him fight. You should want him to struggle. You shouldn't just want him to breeze through 16 games. That's not going to make him a better player. You want him to fight for it a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that.
Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
You guys have been great in covering in your three down the questions I've had about the defense. But I'm just, you know, in looking at the secondary, where do we see the strength in that secondary? And overall in the defense, Mr. Bedard, do you see any potential impact players in general on the team?
Impact players in general on the whole team?
Defense, just stick
defensively.
Yeah, stick with that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that Aguilar, if he shows that he...
defensively, Greg, please.
Defense.
Oh, defensively?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I think that Uche is going to be an impact guy. I think that, you know, I have high hopes for Kyle Duggar, but from what I saw this summer, I tempered my expectations on him a little bit, and I have some concerns about him in space. Adrian Phillips, I think, is going to be great. I don't know if he's going to be impactful, but I think Hightower, if they can... Look, you're going to have to – not only is the offense going to have to come along, but you're putting a lot of pieces together on the defense. It's going to take time, but I think at some point in time, about midpoint of the season, they're going to figure out what they can do with certain players, and I want Hightower to be impactful. And related to this, guys, and I didn't bring this up in the notes, but, you know, look, Steve Belichick, and in my opinion, Steve Belichick and Jerod Mayo have probably the most pressure on them on this team. And I think that Josh McDaniels, look, he has a rookie quarterback. Whatever they get is really gravy. If he plays winning football, great. You know, Josh McDaniels is great, head coaching candidate, all that. You know, the defense has to deliver. I mean, they have a rookie quarterback. They have to deliver. They spend a lot of money. There are a lot of pieces that they have to fit together. Belichick and Mayo, last time we saw them with a full complement, they fell on their faces at the end of the year in 2019. There's no excuses this time around. The defense has to carry them. They got to figure it out.
I'm a little worried about Hightower. I'll just add that. He hasn't played. He hasn't played. So, look, I love what the guy has been. Is he still that guy? I don't know. How often can he do it? I don't know.
And he hasn't, you know, even before he took the hiatus, his last couple regular seasons were not that great. He was a playoff player.
They were downshifting a little with him.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I would push back on that. I thought his final season, remember, he trimmed down. He finally stayed healthy for a full season. I mean, look, was he the monster that he is in the postseason when you can dial up certain plays for him and scheme him up against running backs? No. But in terms of a down-to-down player, I thought he was outstanding that last season.
Here's Levi in Boston. Go ahead, Levi.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Listen, I'm with Bill Belichick. You know what? While we playing checkers, he's playing chess. With that COVID thing and the whole not picking Matt Jones in the beginning as the quarterback, he's protecting the kid. You know, he didn't want the kid to have a big head. This kid came off, was winning the national. He just won the national championship. He wanted to bring him down at ease and let him ride this season.
So that's a great season. That's fine, Levi. What's it have to do with the COVID thing?
But what I'm saying is that Cam did, you know, played a tough season with us through COVID. And, you know, and maybe he did have a conversation with Cam saying, listen, Cam, you know, we're not letting you go because you don't have a vaccine. We're letting you go because you had an awful season last year.
Yeah, to me, the Newton thing is not where I'm barking up. It's this need of Belichick to keep throwing out there, well, it doesn't solve all of our problems, which is just his intellectually dishonest way of arguing against vaccines or the protocols and rules surrounding them or the requirement that you get them or we get them or his players get them. Because it's just a baby argument. It's like, you know, for example, just bring it home to you for an example. I mean, let's just say you like Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. But to make you look bad, the guy arguing with you goes, oh, well, you think he's a Hall of Famer. Well, yeah, you and Mr. Hall of Fame Jimmy Garoppolo. No, I just think he's a pretty good quarterback.
Not sure I ever said anything like
but
that.
But I wasn't looking at you, Murray. I wasn't looking at you. But I'm just saying, like, we do this in sports all the time. Oh, you think they're going undefeated. No, I didn't say that. I just think they're going to be pretty good. So, but you do that to marginalize the other argument, the other side of it, make them look bad, and you just exaggerate their stance to make them look idiotic. So that's what Bill's doing there. Oh, you think it's going to solve all our problems. No one said that. But he's going there because he's carrying on some sort of argument somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. The Newton thing, whether it had anything to do with it or not, is in the past. He blows. I'm glad he's gone. I mean, if Newton was great, he'd still be here vaccinated or not. I mean, that I do believe.
Yeah, his stance on the vaccine was stupid from the beginning. Again, and I go back to that exchange he had with Tom Curran, where he talks about the whole Cam Newton thing, and then Bill says, well, you know, the rules are the same for everybody. And Tom says, that's not the point. The point is, now there's a vaccine, and you can get around the rules. The rules are different for unvaccinated people. And Bill knew that, and he wouldn't even engage.
Because he's got a thing. He's got a thing on this one, folks, and that's how it's seeping out. The even more interesting Belichick take, I read in Boston Sports Journal over the weekend. Let's do this for a couple minutes before we go to 10 questions. Greg wrote this as part of his Sunday notes. What did you notice, Greg, on the practice field at training camp this summer, and what might that tell you about the future? Go ahead.
It seemed obvious that Bill took a step back, that he was more a coach CEO than ever before. I mean, normally in years past, he'd direct every drill, everything that's going on, barking out orders, here's the situation. And he did some of that. I'm not saying he didn't do any of it. But as the summer went on, he had Matt Patricia do more and more of that. And Bill took a step back. Like I said, the Eagles practice, he didn't even pay attention to the Eagles practice. He just stood off to the side and talked to Mike Lombardi. And, you know, to me, it just looked – to me, it was a distinct downshifting from him in terms of his intensity on the field. And I think it also goes to – look, I think we've seen the same thing with the draft. I think that he turned at least some of the controls over to Dave Ziegler and company – this year. I think that, and you know, look, we just talked about how good the draft class appears on paper. And you know, they've been making moves. They tried to go after a cap guy from the Packers. They got denied. You know, to me, it looks like you put all those pieces together, plus going with a rookie quarterback, letting him learn on the job under him and Josh McDaniels his first year. I mean, to me, it looks like Bill has started the process to, if he hadn't already, but to start the process for when he's going to leave. And now, look, I don't think he's going to leave anytime soon. I don't think he's leaving after the season. I think 3 years after he passes Shula, perhaps another Super Bowl title, I think he leaves after 3 years, and I think he's getting everything in order.
So what I found interesting is you said keeping Dave Ziegler away from the Broncos was a big move.
Yes.
And not just that, you say that they've given Ziegler more input than Caserio had. Explain.
Yeah, from what I hear, Ziegler has more input on a, you know, hey, this is what we should do. Now, some of it is also personality. Ziegler is a much stronger personality. He's not afraid to speak up. He is not afraid of Belichick, as opposed to, I think, Caserio kind of, you know, heated to Bill a lot and didn't push back a lot. And I think that Bill likes to be challenged. Well, I know you're going to laugh at this because I think we've done this before where you're like, Bill doesn't want to be challenged. Bill likes it a little. I think he likes it a little bit. Okay. And, you know, not to say that it's his preference, but I think that, look, Bill's not an idiot. He realized the scoreboard. He realized that basically he had to spend all this money in this offseason to clean up his draft messes of the previous few years, that he had gone off the reservation, too many guys that he wants, too many specialized guys. He has front office people leaving left and right because they don't feel like they have any input. Bill's not an idiot. He knew he had to change, and I think that started this year. Now, you'll say that it was the Crafts doing this and this and that. I don't believe that. I think that Bill just adjusted, and I think that the front office alignment and getting those ducks in a row, trying to find the next cap guy was a logical step, and I think it's all part of a process of Bill seeing the end of the road and making sure that this goes well so that his legacy is only enhanced about with what happens after he leaves.
I mean, Mike, what you're talking about, what you're reading there from Greg, those are the seeds of a succession plan. That's what they are. And again, the seeds,
yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like everything has grown in yet, but I think it's maybe Bill is actually going to do with his staff what he didn't do with quarterback, mm-hmm. which is plan for the thing in the longer term and start that. Well, and I shouldn't say he didn't do it at quarterback because he started it with Garoppolo and then it blew up. Okay. But the point being is maybe he's thinking 3 years down the road and he wants to get everybody in the right place.
But so, delegating to Matt Patricia.
Okay. Okay. That's scary.
Thank you. So this is one of the things that Greg points out in his column that shows Belichick may be, you know, lining things up for the next wave. And one of the things was that he brought back Matt Patricia, empowered him on the practice field, and allowed Patricia to bring his personal researcher, his name's Evan Rothstein, with him. So where does Patricia fit into the succession plan, Greg?
I don't know. I don't think that they're there yet. I think that, look, Bill is obviously fond of Matt Patricia, and they're close. Their families are close. And, you know, Matt needed a landing place after what happened in Detroit. And really, I think this whole year for Matt Patricia is about just sort of resetting himself from that. That, like, you know, that was tough for him mentally at the end. I think that he just needed to recharge a bit. He needed to step away. He needed to decompress. And I assume he's done that. And then I think once they get through this year, then they'll think about it. But I mean, I have a hard time seeing him being the next head coach. I mean, if I'm the Crafts, I'm doing everything I can to retain Josh McDaniels. And if Bill just has this year and two more years left, and that would allow him to pass Shula, that gives you the opportunity to be like, all right, well, we're signing a coach in waiting contract. And that would be the ideal for me, because I know the things that Bill Belichick is saying about Josh McDaniels around the league, like when he goes for jobs, about, you know, the praise that he's leveling on him. To me, it's got to be Josh McDaniels. And then you can talk about other options after that. But if I'm the Crafts, I'm doing everything I can do to retain Josh McDaniels.
Okay, we'll pick this up in a little bit. We're going to do 10 questions next. But first, Stu, did you just have something?
No, I've just been telling you since February that Matt Patricia is likely the next guy.
He has been saying that.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that is frightening. On that note, 10
questions. 98.5% of the time, I'm right.
10 questions right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting that?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the
answer. You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we got to be quick. 10 questions in like 8 minutes. So, Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week? Carlton in Tampa. Is this you?
Catboy is married.
Oh, there he is.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can, Heim.
Defense matters, Heim.
Okay, good job, McCarthy. Next.
Just Bad News Bears, absolute clown show, a bleep show from the Boston Red Sox. The game is tied.
Next.
You're telling me you're not excited about some free baseball? Yeah.
Nope.
I don't even understand that one, but
Sean Silver was doing a Macho Man impression while Matt McCarthy was reacting to the Austin Meadows inside the park home run.
He sounded like Macho Man. It was pretty good.
I thought that was Zoe.
Rapping.
Next. Wouldn't it be cool if Dallas added a second team?
No.
Yes.
No.
Have the new team killed.
Next.
Prid quo po.
Or something like that. Some sort of prid quo quo.
Yeah, huh? There it is. I got it.
I put in parentheses. Thank you. Any more? Josh McDaniels. Okay, all right. Or Josh. Ready? Hit it. Anyone? Josh McDaniels. Number 10. Bill Belichick this morning said across the street there, Greg Bedard, that he had nothing but positive thoughts and feelings for Cam Newton, that he worked hard, gave the Patriots everything that he had. Why did it take Belichick a week to say something positive about Newton? How do you feel it ended between him and the team?
I have no clue why it took a week. I said it at the time. Why didn't he? He just could have done it. I thought about it. What's the downside? How could we twist it if he says something positive about Cam Newton? I couldn't think of it. Here's the thing. I think it ended badly between them. And I tried to put myself in Cam Newton's shoes. If Bill Belichick came to me and said, look, Cam, we're going to go with the kid, and we think it's better that we clear the decks of him for him and, you know, not have you hovering over things. If I was Cam Newton, I would bitch out Belichick. I would be like, wait, you decided this and you gave Mac Jones 107 snaps in the preseason and you gave me 38? How is that fair to me? And how is that? All right, forget me just competing for this job. This is about me in my NFL career. Like, how is that? How did you give me a chance? How did you give me a chance to put any film out there for other teams? You didn't even let me run the ball once. Like, how is this at all fair? If I were Cam Newton, that's what I would have said, and I think he has a legitimate beef.
Okay, I think there was a misunderstanding. Eventually, maybe we'll hear Cam Newton's side of it, but I think he has a side to it. But that's for the future. Next. I put in parentheses. Number 9, who will be the first coach fired across the NFL this season, Greg?
I went off the board and I went with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay for this reason. The Packers are one of the only teams that has actually fired a coach during the season. The other guys who are the obvious ones, those franchises really don't do it. They're too cheap. They don't do that. But they fired McCarthy during the season. And here's the other thing. If things go bad for some reason in Green Bay this year, if you're the ownership there, don't you try to salvage what you can with Aaron Rodgers and get rid of LaFleur and be like, Aaron, we'll do whatever you want so that you're back next year.
Mike McCarthy. I think that thing could blow up. You know, there are a lot of guys on bad teams, but they're new coaches. So to me, it's got to be someone that has some expectation, you know, with a roster. I think McCarthy could get absolutely smoked.
I went with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. They thought they were getting off-brand Sean McVay. He's been anything but. And if you have all that talent. They collapsed last year. If that division's tough, he could be out by Thanksgiving.
Good one.
Okay, I'll go Vic Fangio. I don't know how he's a coach in the first right. place. He just feels like he's ripe to be knocked off. Next. Wouldn't it be cool if Dallas added a second team?
No.
Yes.
No.
Have the new team killed.
Number 8, in honor of David Patton, who was your favorite role player from those early 2000 Patriots teams, Greg?
I missed the role player part, so sorry. I was going to say Teddy Bruschi was just my favorite player.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What?
Teddy was my favorite player. He just, I loved how he transformed himself from Arizona at being a pure pass rusher to being one of the most cerebral guys in the game. I just love to watch the chess match with him, with the other quarterbacks. I loved it.
My initial reaction was Sam Gash, but he was late 90s. He doesn't qualify as the era. So ultimately, I did put an emphasis on role, and I went with Kevin Falk.
I went with Troy Brown. Whatever you need. Tough, reliable, and again, whatever you need. Defense, special teams, offense, I'm there. Love Troy Brown forever.
Let me give you one. Troy Brown's my favorite Patriot of all time. So I'll Bobby Hamilton. Bobby Hamilton, a great underrated defensive lineman on those teams. Next.
You're telling me you're not excited about some free baseball? Yeah.
Nope.
Number seven. What will it take for you to be sold, Greg, on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
They need to, he and they need to repeat what they did last year again. Right now, last season is the outlier in Josh Allen's entire career. Do I think he's immensely talented? Do I think he can do it again? Hell yeah. But he needs to do it for me to believe it.
So to me, that's a minimum. Like, they got to repeat the season. And I would say get to the Super Bowl. Get out of the AFC. Beat Kansas City. Like, then all of a sudden we go, okay, now I got to take it seriously.
Darryl, I already thought he was legit. But I do think they are going to dip this year.
Okay.
Team.
Yeah, I don't need anything because I am already sold. Next. Some sort of prid quo there. Number six, fill in the blank. If I were a Dolphins fan, I'd feel blank about Brian Flores.
Conflicted. I mean, I think he's a good coach, but why the hell does he change his mind all the time? You know, whether it's quarterback or free agents or what. It's just, I don't know. He just, he's not consistent, and that could lead to issues for this team.
Yeah, I would say a little skittish. I like what they've done on the field, but I do think there's some instability there on the inside that makes me feel like it could all come apart at any point.
Fine for now, but if it's a disaster season and they don't make the playoffs, and they have to make the playoffs this year, clock's ticking.
Next.
Prid quo po.
Here's the tool bag question. Predict who will be the biggest tool bag in the NFL in 2021.
I crowdsourced this on Twitter, and I agree with the masses. Dan Campbell. In Detroit. That is not going to work well.
Excellent choice. Kirk Cousins. I feel like that thing is going to be a complete mess between, you know, the vaccine and just everything. He could be a complete tool.
For similar reasons, Carson Wentz. Here's a chance to really turn your career around. You're now going to be with Frank Reich. Get the shot, dude. Like, you've already had this injury. You're going to be coming back. Just get the shot so you can stay on the field, and he won't do it.
Aaron Rodgers, and there is no second place. Next. Josh McDaniels, okay, or Josh, thoughts on Tom Brady admitting that he contracted COVID following the Bucks Super Bowl parade this past weekend, Greg?
Not a shock. It's Tampa. It was like an orgy of celebration there, like, and Brady was hammered too, so bad combination.
Yeah, I would say he may want to check out Maz.com and get himself some good Maz immunity powder, because the immunity powder he has clearly does not work.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess the magic beans didn't work, huh, Tom?
I was going to say, for a guy who sold us concussion water, he sure has had a lot of concussions, according to he and his wife. And for a guy that peddled protection immunity powder, seems like that wasn't quite working either. So for a guy who's peddled a lot of stuff, he feels like, and for all the pliability, he still had knee surgery, didn't he? So something tells me either he's not taking his stuff or all that stuff is a complete and utter fraud.
Yes, I have it in tablet form. It's called Immunimaz.
Next.
Defense matters, Heim.
Speaking of Brady, 4 weeks out, Bucks, Patriots, what's your temperature? Give me a thought. I know Maz has a new Buccaneers-Patriots thought like every day, so I just want to set him up. But do you have any, Greg, as we're a month out from that game?
I expect that to be a classic Bill Belichick game plan game. I bet they've probably spent all the extra time on Tampa Bay with two division games and the Saints and Jameis. Probably didn't have to spend much time on that. But the Bucks, I bet you they've been game planning for weeks for that game.
Yeah, when he says Belichick game plan game, he's talking about the defense. On the other side of the ball with Tampa's defense, you know where they're weakest? At corner. Which means the Patriots would be well-served to have productive wide receivers in that game, because Bowles is probably going to want to blitz the crap out of Mac Jones, which means Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne will be one-on-one on the outside. Those guys are going to be important in that game. I know that's down the road, but that crossed my mind this morning.
I want Tom to bend them over and treat them like the Gimp. Now, that being said, I don't expect it to be a blowout. I think it'll be a close competitive game.
All right, there'll be a weekly temperature check on that one. Next. Wouldn't it be cool if Dallas added a second team?
No.
Yes.
No.
Have the new team killed.
Number two, who will be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this year, Greg?
To me, it's between Goff and Daniel Jones. And it's close, but I'm going with Jones just because his offensive line is horrible.
Other than Dallas, anyone from the NFC, take your pick. Washington, Giants, Philly. I think any one of those three guys could absolutely freaking blow.
Greg nailed it. Daniel Jones, make or break season for him. I think he's going to break. You know, he has 29 fumbles in two seasons.
Guys, Who are Tyrod Taylor's receivers?
I know, he's on my list, too.
Brandon Cooks is still there.
Oh, is he still
there?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, don't forget Andy Dalton, either.
Houston doesn't have much. All right, next. Carlton in Tampa. Is this you?
Catboy is married.
Predict the Patriots MVP for 2021. Who will be the most valuable player on the team?
This is going to be shocking for you, Felger. But I'm going with Trent Brown because Isaiah Wynn, who has played 19 of 52 games so far in his career, who they picked up their fifth option.
We don't do this very often, Greg. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've been preempted.
We have to. We have to reject that. I mean, you
what?
You can't, Josh McDaniels.
No.
Can I at least explain?
No.
No.
When has an offensive lineman ever been named MVP of anything?
When do they give the award for real Patriots MVP?
Well, I'm asking you who's...
It's a talk show topic, Greg.
I mean, seriously.
I'm asking you who's going to be the most Patriots' most valuable player. At the end of the year, it's going to be Trent Brown because Isaiah Wynn's going to get hurt, and so he's going to give you great play at right tackle and left tackle. And, yeah, that's going to be valuable when you have a rookie quarterback. Thank you very much.
I reject it. It's not accepted.
Mac Jones. And I was reluctant to pick the quarterback, but honestly, it's hard to think of a guy on this team that could really do it. You know, you lean defense or they're better players, but it's even hard to pick a defensive MVP. And outside of the quarterback, who's going to win it on the offense?
I go with Jonnu Smith.
Okay, Jakobi Meyers.
Ooh.
If Jakobi Meyers. What? Yeah. If because receivers,
I reject it.
Receivers and quarterbacks win those kind of awards.
Wide receiver in a two tight end office cannot be MVP. I reject it.
Let's pick a right tackle. Was Hog Hannah ever a team MVP? I mean,
he should have been. Hell yeah.
He should have been.
Gold jacket, baby.
85. He was awesome.
No, he was really good. But I don't know. Craig James. I mean, you tell me. But either way, where was I? Oh, if Mac Jones is just a game manager and he's just checking down and Jakobi Meyers catches 95 balls and is sort of like the Troy Brown was early for Tom Brady when he was catching all those passes, you could have made the claim that Troy Brown was an offensive MVP. So I don't know. Just at least there's something on planet Earth other than the right tackle.
You're lucky you didn't pick a Wenu.
Oh, my God. Just give me some. Anyway.
Joe Cardona.
Back to your phones. I promise there's a couple open lines. You want to talk some football with Bedard? Have at it. 617-779-0985. An update first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Let me give you one more quick Brady thought. Or Brady topic. This was part of this interview they did with the Tampa Times over the weekend. And Greg, I know you're sitting back down, so I just want to start again. Tom Brady said this to the Tampa Times over the weekend about the new number rule where defense can wear single-digit numbers. He says, the number rule is crazy, Brady said. Literally, guys change their numbers today. I'm playing two guys who had different numbers in the preseason. So, yeah, you've got to watch film and know who you're studying, but so do running backs. They've got to know who to block. So does the offensive line. So does the receivers who are adjusting their routes based on blitzes. So one guy's got a 6, one guy's got an 11, one guy's got a 9. And they change every play when you break your routes and you get to your spot. It's going to be a very challenging thing. It's a good advantage for the defense, which that's what it is. He says it would be like saying, what if I let the offensive linemen wear 82 and number 9? They wouldn't know who was eligible. Well, that's not fair, said Brady. You'll get your tail kicked. At least identify who the D-line, the linebackers, and the safeties are. You're going to have a lot of matchups where guys are blocking the wrong guys. I don't know why that should be. There's a follow-up quote. You have any thoughts on this?
Cry me a river, Tom. Like, there aren't enough advantages for the quarterbacks and the offenses. And really, I think he's making a big deal out of nothing. Like, to compare offensive linemen to if they were eligible it's apples to oranges, because on defense, everyone can rush the passer. Like, they're not restricted. And plus, it's not going to be that big of a deal. You know what you've seen on film. You know where guys are coming from. You know where guys are overloaded. It's not that big of a deal. And after about a month, it'll be fine. You'll get used to the new numbers. It's not that big of a deal. He's just crying to cry, and I just don't agree with it.
I need to see it in action first before I can tell whether it really has an impact or not. Look, because again, my instinct is to say what Greg's just said. All right, Tom, shut the hell up, you big baby. So they shook it up on you. But I wonder, I don't know, what if guys start getting their wires crossed and all of a sudden these guys start running free, or, you know, I need to see it before I can make a real judgment on it.
Yeah, but don't these guys, I mean, they look so different in terms of their body shape. Shouldn't you be able to determine who's who just based on that?
Yeah, or your film prep, which is, you know, number nine's an inside linebacker. So number nine's the mic. Like, it's really not that. It shouldn't be that complicated.
This sounds like Garrett Cole and Garrett Richards. I know, don't cross sports, but it's like, oh, different. Ah, seriously. Sky is falling. Like, you'll get used to it.
Brady said, I have a lot of perspective on things. You know, like, there are certain things that frustrate me, and I say, well, this is something that I should speak up about. Things as it relates to pro football, the unions, and I've been around for 20 years to watch, and I say,
oh, boy.
Is it getting better or worse? And when I feel like it's getting worse, I go, what are we doing? This is not the purpose of the game. But there are people who are making decisions who don't have the same perspective. Not that mine is always right, but at least I want to feel like my point is heard too, because some of it is just made for the sake of making it.
You know who he sounds like right there?
Belichick.
I was going to say Aaron Rodgers. I've been around for 20 years. You'd like to think I know what I'm talking about. Seriously, I just said that sounded like Aaron Rodgers at that whole press conference where he thoroughly embarrassed himself.
So there's that. That's just a quick aside. All right, I promise. Phones, final thoughts. Greg, heading into the season, expectations for Jones, the team, and your calls in a long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
When you talk about growth, and that's what you heard Bill Belichick say, the growth of Mac Jones, the growth is going to be stunted for a little while because the ceiling isn't that high for Mac Jones. When you get an Alabama player, you get a player that's pro-ready, but a player that's pretty much close to what he's going to be, right? Because he's going to get tremendous coaching. He's going to have tremendous football acumen. Listen, stop me when you tell me the last Alabama quarterback to come in this draft or come in this league and take the league by storm. Listen, I thought it was a mistake to get rid of Cam. Maybe Cam's shadow, to Adam's point, was just too big. The fact that Mac Jones had his worst practice when Cam Newton came back, and maybe you had to tell Mac Jones that this was his team, so you had to get rid of Cam Newton. But listen, in this league, defenses are going to break him down in about five games about the time he plays Tampa, because they're going to see what he can do and what he can't do, and I think it's going to be a long season for Mac Jones. Can he get him to an AFC championship? Yes, of course. Like, I took two rookie quarterbacks to the AFC championship, but the problem is the field of young, talented quarterbacks in this league are far greater than the ones in which we went to and the ones that Tom Brady went to. I mean, you think about Mahomes, you think about, you know, at some point your quarterback's going to have to win you a game, not just not crash the car.
So that was Bart Scott, who I thought raised an interesting issue that we talked a lot about before with Alabama football players coming out of the draft. The good news is they're NFL ready. But the bad news is that there's not much upside left because Nick Saban has gotten most of it out of them. And so they're ready made, but they're also sort of at their ceiling. And is that a concern for you with Mac Jones, Greg, that his ceiling isn't very high because of this?
It is not. I think it's the quarterback position is just different. I don't think you can compare, like, you can't compare Dante Hightower or Jaylen Waddle or, you know, positional player in terms of, yeah, they've been coached up. Like, there's not much that they're going to learn in the NFL or be able to show. I think that the quarterback position is just different. Of course, I think it's more dependent on any other position on what's around you, your offensive line, the skill players, the coaching. And I just don't think it's not the right comparison. I mean, you know, I think that Mac Jones is going to be a good player for this team, but I think he's going to be brought along. And I think that any concerns that like Bart Scott has about, oh, well, they're going to know what he can and can't do. Yeah. But you can also counter things in terms of plays and how you script things. And it's a whole different thing in terms of play calling and play game planning. I understand what he's trying to do. I just disagree with pretty much all the premises he put forth.
I mean, I don't disagree with all the premises. I think some of what he says is legit. That, you know, again, you need a quarterback that can make plays. It's not just about avoiding mistakes. You need a guy to come through in some spots.
Let's face it. I don't think Mac Jones was ever considered a high ceiling kind of player. Like,
correct.
That's Justin Fields and Trey Lance, guys who are bigger and move, mm-hmm. and, you know, who could be these big-time playmakers. You know, Mac Jones's ceiling is his brain, which I think it's still a brainy position. He can still be an excellent, great quarterback. But I don't think anyone ever said that I don't think it's that outrageous. And now, you know, but Bart Scott sort of combining the Alabama thing, the ready-made prospect thing to it. I think it's more just about his skill set. You know, like, what's the ceiling of a 6'2" right. unmobile quarterback? I mean, that is what it is. It's as far as his brain can take him. All right, Greg, what are realistic expectations for this team and this quarterback this year? So Vegas line 9.5. You over under?
Over. I'm pounding the over. I mean, I think to me, 10-7 is the floor for this team. I think the ceiling is 12-5. I think more 11-6 is their wheelhouse. I don't think a lot of the division outside of Buffalo. I think that the schedule has been kind to them in terms of the divisions that they play. And I just think that, look, they were 7-9. They were one game below 500. With Cam Newton during COVID with a crappy roster on both sides of the ball, and they've upped it all. Now, look, do I think they're going to light the world on fire early? No, probably not. And neither did Tampa Bay last year. They were 7-5 and floundering, and then they won 8 straight. I think that is more the blueprint for them, that you just want to stay above water in the first half of the season and wait for things to gel. But I think that 11-6 is about the ballpark for this team, and I think that should allow them to contend in the AFC East.
Does Mac Jones have to be great for them to get there?
He's got to be pretty good. I mean, I think he has to be, you know, I think we're talking just under 30 touchdowns, probably 11 or 12 interceptions, and he's got to keep the fumbles down. But I think that all of it in today's game and how these quarterbacks are much more advanced than the guys that preceded them by a decade or two, I think that it's all in Mac Jones's wheelhouse. And with Josh McDaniels, I think he can do it.
He doesn't have to be great. No, again, I think if he just finishes in the middle of the pack, that would qualify as a win for the Patriots. And I say middle of the pack of NFL starters. So, you know, if he's a B, like somewhere in that area, and then to me that's what average is now, is a B. Good. They're fine there. Just don't screw it up. I don't expect 30 touchdown passes out of this
guy.
Me
either. I think like 22, 23 tops.
Yeah, if he gets in the low to mid 20s, somewhere in that area, like Murray just said, and protects the football overall and doesn't do anything stupid, Bill will coach him to the wins.
But I do think, I would not be surprised if he has a handful of games where they air it out. And yep. I don't mean air it out like he's, you know, chucking it 50 yards down the field, but I wouldn't be surprised if they ended some games where he's got 40-plus attempts.
Yeah, 40 dropbacks. Yeah.
You know, and they almost never did that with Brady in 01. It was so tightly controlled and so tightly contested, but I think the league's different now. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, let me just say, I mean, I don't think you can do that for 17 straight weeks like you used to. Like in 01, mm-hmm. they could pretty much go the whole time with Brady under center, play action, conservative, really tightly game managed, win on defense. And
yeah, he finishes like with a buck 80 and a touchdown.
They pretty much did that the whole way through the year and through the playoffs, really. I don't think you can do that in this day and age. I think the league has changed. So I expect by the second half of the year, if not sooner, that there's going to be some games where they put it in his hands, Greg.
I completely agree with you, but here's what I want to see from Mac Jones. And I'm not worried about the stats. I don't care what his touchdown to interception ratio is really. What I want to see from Mac Jones is, does he have the clutch gene? And I'm not just talking 2 minutes to the end of the game. I'm talking 3rd and 6, 3rd and 9. Is he making the right decisions? Is he delivering the ball in the right place? He's shown an inkling in his preseason film that he's going to do that. But I want to see some of the special stuff. And that's some of the special stuff that you saw with Brady very early on is, like, you know, look, he was a game manager. They had a really good team. But, you know, when it came to it, when they needed to make plays, he could make plays. Can Mac Jones makes those plays? I think he can. But those are the plays that I'm going to be looking for week after week to be like, okay, this kid has something.
Give me a game thought. Patriots, Dolphins, what's the key to the game?
I think that controlling, keeping Tua in the pocket and making him a pocket quarterback. He does have very good athletic ability, but you need to change. He is one of those quarterbacks that I think falls into the stereotype of you need to show him a pre-snap look and change a post-snap. And when you do that, I think it's going to slow him down. I think he's going to be very prone to mistakes. And I think the Dolphins are going to have a tough time. I think, look, do they have a good defense? Do they have some good players? Yeah. Do I want to make sure that the running game is really good and you don't have to throw into that secondary on 3rd and long with a rookie quarterback? Hell yeah. But I think that the name of the game for the Patriots is just making sure Tua makes a lot of mistakes, which he has shown to. Last time we saw him in a game, he was flat out goddamn awful against the Bills in that season finale, which they had to win to stay in the playoffs. You know, do that to Tua, because I don't know how much he's advanced since then.
All right, big boy. Thanks for joining us as always. We appreciate it.
See you, boys.
See you next week, Greg. Game to cover.
We miss your pretty face in studio. Hopefully next week we'll see you here. Catch Greg at the Boston Sports Journal. Give it a subscription. It's a fine site. All right, your phones are lined up, I promise. We will get to you. We just want to give you a quick Red Sox minute as well, based off of yesterday's game. That was quite a fine afternoon of baseball, wouldn't you say, Maz?
Oh, no, yeah, that was inspiring.
No, it was tremendous. So we'll do that and your calls, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.